Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, hope thanks, Dr. Jackson. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Mel Weber on the board. Got Mr. Kevin O'Neill. S&P futures up 9.25. Dow futures are up 70, so we got a decent start to the market today. Ended up yesterday. We were up pretty strong, and we came down to unchanged like a couple of times. Actually went negative a couple of times and finished kind of on an uptick, so looks like we're going to end the first quarter fairly strong. We got oil over $60 today, which is the first time we've seen that in a while. And we have gold up, still under 1300, but up a little bit today. So gold has rebounded pretty dramatically. We will see what happens in the oil stocks today. Kevin, how are you?
I am doing fine. How are you doing today?
Doing all right. I made the mistake of, on the way out yesterday, of listening 2 seconds to our president, which I try not to do. But sometimes, Kevin, I think when people, how can I say this nicely? When people are have an attitude of life that, in my opinion, is stone cold ignorant, and they're in a position like that, I think it affects policy in a bad way. And I'm not saying, I honestly think that most of the stuff that's been done when he's been off has been pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, personality aside, which you and I try and put aside, but yesterday he started ranting and raving on his way to the helicopter about how the economy here is doing so much, not so much great, but so much better than everybody else in the world, because look at the bleep hole they're going into. I don't understand, Kevin, how people who have transactions all the time, especially with the same people, because I made transactions every day on the trading floor, but I traded with the same people for 19 years. Every single transaction can't be a loser in it, and it's a mentality that's crazy. If you buy milk from somebody or you sell corn to somebody, every single time you can't take advantage and call him a loser in a transaction when you got to do business with the guy the next day. Does a man actually think that if our trading partners go under, this is good for us? That it's some kind of a game? The game is for everybody to grow together. I don't see how we could. Even if you think that way, you can't act that way, because you throw people down a rat hole. I mean, I hope the people around him don't allow him to actually make policy that way, but how does anybody even think that way, Kevin? How can anybody be that shallow and have that job?
Well, I'd have to hear the statement to, you know, myself to actually comment effectively on it. But if the attitude is we're great because everybody else sucks worse, well, that's nothing I would endorse. It's nothing very optimistic either.
No.
And one of the things at some point, and Trump does this at times, and he doesn't do it at other times, but one of the things that a leader has to be is very optimistic.
Yes.
It was the thing that Reagan probably did better than anything else, was that he instilled a sense of optimism in the country that a lot of people could latch on to, and, you know, culminating in the famous Morning in America ad, as he was running for his second term. It's those kinds of images, that kind of a thought process that is makes for a successful leader. And, you know, we really haven't, we haven't had that in a long time, actually.
No, not that anybody will follow, and which is unfortunate. I mean, people... Clinton could have come out with the cure for cancer, and people, it wouldn't have made any difference, because he was the first one, I think, that started that. I think people generally liked Bush 1. I don't know how you couldn't, really.
Well, not at the time. That's not the way I remember
it. Well, I mean, and as an individual basis, you wanted him personally to succeed with us, even if people didn't like the fact that he said no new taxes and then did. I mean, I'm saying, when you're talking about somebody at that level, there's kind of levels of like and dislike, I think. I mean, you might not have liked his tax policy, but I don't think anybody disliked him individually. Why would you? I mean, maybe I guess you could, but...
Don't know what to tell you. I know there were some interesting books at the time that were, you know, that were written that really went after him hard.
Well, I mean, even Jimmy Carter. I mean, a lot of the timing of the recession and everything that people blame on Carter is flat ass wrong. I mean, and what he did versus what Reagan did, and when they did it, and all those kinds of things. I mean, people who will tell you that Carter is the worst president and Reagan was, you know, next to Jesus Christ on a pedestal, couldn't tell you any one thing of which policy went through and which man was there and put it through. I mean, there's an amazing disconnect between who did what where.
Yeah. Well, and I think Carter got the leftovers, you know, from some of the Nixon policies too. So I'm not arguing with you there, but Carter's a perfect example of what I mentioned, is that he never could come up with that kind of optimism,
right,
that people would follow. And what did he have? It was our great national malaise or something like that.
Which
I forget
clearly
exactly how he worded it.
Which was a big holdover.
He had something like that, and that was his message. And you know, even if it's true, it's not what people will follow.
Well, it's
in fact, you know, people follow optimism because, you know, a really good leader is going to sit there and say, "I don't care what gets thrown in our way, we're going to overcome it." You know, you're going to get that attitude.
Well, if you read some of the stuff that was going on in his time, I mean, he was really a leftover of the. He reminds me a little bit of what's going on with Chairman Powell. About the leftovers of bad policy. I mean, what's her name? I think really didn't care if she left that job, Janet Yellen. I mean, when Carter came in and he had inflation on the end, you had just had one of our biggest allies in the Middle East just went under, basically, or he helped put them under, because he cut the deal with the Ayatollah, which was the dumbest deal ever. I mean, that's, if you had anything nasty to say about Carter, that would be. The Ayatollah talked him into saying if he brought him over there that he would be for us. The minute he got him over there, we essentially put the guy in office, and he turned on us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that was not Carter's finest day, but the fact is, all of a sudden he went from having my friends at Pullman at the time were guys who told me, hey, look, one of my best friends at Pullman, poor guy's got Alzheimer's, to beat the band. Easily Kevin, the smartest man I ever met, without question. He worked for Boeing on the helicopters. And the one helicopter, the helicopter they sent there, and everybody just totally rags on Carter about the raid where people went down in the helicopters in the sandstorm. At the time, there was no SEAL team. There was no, what's the Army's high-end guys, whatever. There were no units that you could send that were a unit. So what you had to do is you had to put together a unit from the various places. And some general had basically a hair up his behind about this one particular helicopter, which everybody knew was a dog. The thing had he had to replace the rotor, the thing that actually turns, not the top, the propeller, the thing that runs up and down. You had to replace the damn thing something like every 100 hours for like $300,000. And if it came anywhere near a stand, the thing went down. And everybody knew it, and that was the helicopters they used. I mean, it was not something anybody, you know, it was a huge shock to anybody. I mean, these guys at Pullman were outraged. How could they send that helicopter? Why'd they send the Sikorskys? Because we were not fine in the sand, but much better in the sand. I mean, it's unbelievable. But anyway, I mean, you look at all this time, but you're right, it is. But I think that the president stumbled into a lot of these trade policies that appeared on the surface, which I think is all he looks at, you know, and maybe that's all you can look at that low, I don't know. But he looks at the trade policies and he says these things aren't working. And you know what, Kevin? I think in a lot of ways they're not working. The question is why? Why have the people that we traded with and essentially gave a pretty good deal starting out, why aren't their wages going up like they're supposed to? Well, why aren't ours? I mean, everything is, you know, you... I was talking last night with a couple of my Fed buddies, you know, the it's really hard to do the analysis of how is it that when the pickup trucks or whatever they are went down to Mexico, the pickup trucks were half the price they are now, and now they're double the price, and the guys are still making $3 an hour. I mean, the whole idea that economic goodness will somehow trump political corruption or whatever, that a lot of people really thought about, the Milton Friedmans of the world really thought that was true, sort of hasn't worked. I'm not so sure I or anybody else has plan B, do you? I mean, let's get this straight. We're going to send good business to some place. All of a sudden, people have been working in factories, but they're going to be just as poor as before they went in the factories. They're not going to make any money. And the thing that's coming off the end of the line is $70,000, and they're making $3 an hour. It's like, Kevin, who would have thought of that? I mean, these are, and I don't know the solution. I mean, but we're not going to get to the solution if all we do is fight all day. I mean, but there seems something's not right. Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah, but if we're running corrupt governments, really on both sides of the border, then how, you know, what do we expect to happen?
People used to think that if the economy got better, that people would have the wherewithal to somehow get the power to fix the government. The one would follow the other. And I don't know why anybody had that theory, but it sure looks like maybe that theory hasn't worked so well.
Every time we get economic improvement, all we hear is about the inequity of the improvement, and therefore we have to engineer it better. And once you start engineering it, you do that with government. And so, you know, government, is it inherently corrupt? You know, you can make the case one way or the other. It, whatever it is, whether it's inherent or not, it happens to turn out that way a lot.
Well, I think when places, some of the powerful people in the country get too powerful, government ends up inherently corrupt. Whether there's not a whole lot difference between the drug lords in Mexico and not in terms of crime and killing people and stuff, and Boeing here in terms of power over the central authority. I don't think. I mean, it gets you to the same place.
America. Yeah, and it may even be reasonable to go back to the Godfather when Kay tells Michael, young Michael, that the government doesn't kill people. And Michael says, "Now who's being naive, Kay?"
Oh yeah. Well, I think I'm Mr. Conspiracy. By the way, we have Mr. Wayne Manson coming on today. I don't think there's any doubt that governments were involved in killing Marilyn Monroe. Do you?
Probably not. I've read all the theories. I would again like to see evidence before I actually make such a pronouncement. But it did look a little.
And a lot of people were
there. Let's put it this way: there was a whole lot going on.
Yes, there was a whole lot going on there. And anyway, but the so you wonder at some point whether or not. You can flip the switch on some of this stuff and go back to actual solutions. And then in the middle of this, we've got this massive, you know, left versus right, almost entertainment to a lot of people. It's almost, you know, I guess if you went back to the Irish, the North versus the South, Catholics versus the Protestants, or the Hatfields and McCoys, at some point it becomes people's whole life essentially the war. Right, instead of the solution to the war. And I think we have a lot of people now on both sides of this political spectrum. It's their whole life to lob bricks at the other side. What does that do to anybody? I mean, it surely doesn't help much.
Well, it doesn't, but we don't, you know, it would be nice to start dealing, to start brokering in truth.
Right, well, that's, you know, that is but a concept to most people.
You know, how many times have you had me come on and say, you know what, I decided to turn on the news this morning and just toggle between two channels. You know, you'd think they were reporting on two different countries.
Right. Well, Lou and I were talking yesterday a little bit. I don't know what the networks, those guys are all dead, thought of the 15-minute news at night or half hour. It almost seemed to me, looking back on it, maybe you look back at things, you see a rainbow all the time, but that the networks, I mean, they wanted the news, their 6 o'clock news, to beat the other network 6 o'clock news. I mean, they always wanted that. Walter Cronkite wanted to be, who do you go up against? Was it Harry Reasoner? I mean, whoever was on the other channel, I don't remember the other. But they had, all three networks had a news, right, at 10 o'clock and at 6 o'clock. But basically it was, get the news and let's get back to the programming. And it wasn't once you went to 24 hours, I mean, it's all ratings. But it's entertainment. It has nothing, but in their mind, it has nothing to do with news. A little bit. Because you don't want to be constantly.
Well, but it's the news that the audience wants to hear, and the audience wants to hear it. Wants to hear its own version of the news. It's not being challenged with multiple viewpoints. Or when it is, it's lightly challenged.
Well, I remember when Chicago had.
I think that's a big problem.
Remember when Chicago had the four newspapers?
And frankly, you know what? The opinion shows that we have on a Sunday morning are fine for what they are. I think some are better than others. I think most of the interviewers many of the interviewers tend to be really lousy at follow up questions and things that might be actually insightful, but they're fine for what they are. But in the end, there isn't much that is just saying, here, I'll give you facts.
Well, they're never going to ask.
And I prefer to get unedited news or uneditorialized news.
Well, I will mention this, Kevin, since the election is Tuesday, and it's already Friday, so it's not going to happen, but one of the, person I know John Lee, one of his nieces works for, I'll say, the alderman in my district. And he said, would you want to put her on the show? And I honestly, I had real mixed emotions about it, Kevin, because I have an awful lot of questions to ask her. And I don't know that if she answers them truthfully, I don't know that it helps her or hurts her. I think it probably hurts her. I really had a feeling that maybe I shouldn't do it. And I don't know, listeners, please let me know what you think about this, because I have a whole list of basically questions that I've been dying to ask somebody in power in the city of Chicago for a long time. And I just didn't know whether it was the ladies 2 days before her election, it was a time to pepper with them. I'm curious about how you take an entire area of the city and somehow it all becomes one person's property. When I know for me to get a permit to cut my grass takes a year. All of a sudden, when somebody gets involved and the word is given, how all that happens. This is an area that was, this is the Lincoln Yards thing for people who don't know. But the history of it is, and I'll be brief, Chicago had a...
You will not.
Well, the problem is it's a big story. But by and large, Chicago had a huge manufacturing base at one time. And this area on the north side was all manufacturing. And then the manufacturing started to leave the city, so about, maybe 20 years ago or so, they said, you know what, this area, this Kingsbury Corridor, or whatever the hell they want to call it, is going to remain manufacturing. That and Goose Island was not going to go essentially residential.
So, or retail.
So even in the places, you see like the Mercedes-Benz dealership has the repair facility in there. They couldn't put the showroom in there. So that's outside the district. So they have two buildings. So all this stuff happens. And all along the way here, people who maybe had the ability to sell it to somebody who wanted to build a high rise or a bunch of condos really couldn't do it. Now all of a sudden somebody gets a hair up there behind it. Yeah, we'll do it. But they don't just pass the thing and say anybody who owns the property there gets it kind of creeps out a little bit with a person acquiring property beforehand. And people who, even the city had a huge couple block thing where they used to repair all the fire trucks. Now they miraculously are gone and sold this property to somebody. Was it a public auction? Was it a dirty price? Was Ram's brother involved? I mean, all of a sudden, Kevin, a huge chunk of the city is now belongs to this one company. Now they somehow got a zoning variance for residential. But now if you and I happen to be the sons of people that owned a trucking company there it's been empty property for 15 years, because nobody wanted to build a factory thinking maybe something's going to happen. Now, do you and I, do we get to say, no, I'm not selling it. I'm putting up my own condos here, my own high-rise. Or does that zoning variance only work for those guys and not for you and me? I mean, a lot of here potentially really, really sucks. I just didn't want to get into this with somebody in an election because, A, she wouldn't want to answer me, and B, if she did, it might, who knows what it would do to her chances, or how many people, but what you're talking
about. Well, if it deserves to affect the chances, I wouldn't have a problem with that, but
well, she's been a fighter.
Right, it's not likely to be productive.
No, she's been a fighter the whole thing. So actually, she might have wanted to answer him, but, But I'm, what you write about the people on Sunday morning, I listen to them because I think they're better. Both what's her name, Margaret Brennan, she used to be on CNBC, and the guy who does the other one. They're better than most, but you're never going to see when they're talking about Boeing. You're never, you, they're not going to be like me and say, to be honest, Senator, how much money have you taken from Boeing, and how much is the average senator representative taken from Boeing? How fair is this really, and can the people who are in the regulatory areas really regulate somebody that big when all their bosses essentially have been paid by the guy? I mean, I would answer that. I would ask that question, and I'd be off that morning. I'd never be back on. So there's questions here to be asked by people like you and me. Can we let these people get so damn big, and then turn around and say, well, we're going to regulate them? Can we even do that? Is it even possible? I mean, you know, can you change the laws of physics, Captain? I don't think you can. I mean, obviously, we can't regulate Google or any of these other guys. They do whatever they damn well please. I mean, they got so big. Fast, I don't know, you know, and maybe we just weren't paying attention, or maybe we didn't know what direction they were going. Now all of a sudden they control everybody's life to a certain extent, or certainly everybody's stuff about everybody. I mean, we're in a spot now that people have to sit back and say, can we really do, can this be a fair investigation of Boeing when everybody's got a paycheck from the guy, place? I don't know, can we?
Oh, sure, just ask him.
Just ask him. That's right. SP Futures up 6. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Any man who's responsible for other people. Like a senator or a president.
Do you know how naive you sound?
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Who's being naive, Kay?
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right
now. Blown up by stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Myers, Mr. Miller, on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. SP Futures now up 11 and a quarter. NASDAQ Futures up 30, and we've got the Dow Futures 115, as everybody's pretty much up around the board here. We have Munchkin, Mnuchin, says that U.S.-China trade talks were constructive. What are we going to do, Maddie, one of these days, somewhere in your lifetime, when these trade talks are concluded one way or the other, we declare victory, and we don't have this story every day? What's going to power the market every day?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's really something. It's been the longest story I've ever seen in my 40 years of the business, for God's sake. Over in Europe, we got the DAX up 108. That's a whole 1%. FTSE up 21.3%. They're not up as much because they still have UK have another Brexit vote today. I don't get it. They don't want to take the deal. They don't want to leave without it. It's like, I want to learn how to swim, but I don't want to get wet. I don't get that. CAC round, like I said, up 51, but that's a full 1%. Over in Asia, up 172 on the Nikkei as they continue up, down every day. It's 0.82, 21,205. They're back up to over 21,000. Shanghai back up over 3,000, up 95 points. That's 3%. So they must be believers over there as well. Hang Seng up 276. That's 1%. Like I said, oil is up 86 cents. That's over 60. $60.16. Brent 68.66. So that spread is now $8.50. It's been anywhere from high sevens to 11 bucks since we've been doing the show. It's an interesting spread if you just look at it. RBOB gas 191. Not good for people that own Suburbans like me. Silver up 7 cents, 1505. Gold up a dollar to 1296, but it's ducked under 13. It's had the worst month since August, with the dollar being strong. So we don't need no sticking gold when you got dollars being strong. Anyway, we got for us traffic, weather, sports, all kinds of sports.
All kinds of sports. Fun night last night, 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start on the area expressways. No issues coming in yet on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson looking good, too. Southside Expressway is behaving themselves at this hour. We have one significant crash in the entire Chicagoland area. That's up in the northern suburbs. Route 41 northbound between Wesley Road and Old Elm Road is closed due to an earlier rollover crash. Apparently a vehicle is way off into the woods. It's happened around 4 a.m. and it still has Route 41 closed as they get that cleaned up and investigate that significant crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, a cold, blustery day today. Partly cloudy skies, could have a shower roll in the area later on. A high of just 47 with wind chills in the low 30s. So you'll have to get that winter coat back out. Right now it's mostly cloudy and 42 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 82 today. Right now it's clear and 55. In sports, opening day in Major League Baseball, and it was the Cubs taking it to the Texas Rangers 12-4 down in Arlington. Javi Baez with a couple of home runs in his 2019 debut. Chris Bryant went yard as well. John Lester earns the win. White Sox lost to the Royals 5-3. Eloy Jimenez made his MLB debut. He was hitless, but he did drive in a run, but the White Sox came up short, losing 5-3. Diamondbacks were blown out by the Dodgers 12-5. In hockey, Blackhawks with a nice road win in San Jose last night, 5-4 over the Sharks. Hawks remain 5 points out of the second wild card spot, but just 5 games left to play, so they probably have to win out and then obviously get some help as there's a couple of teams ahead of them, but they're not dead yet. Coyotes were off. Bears made some news. They traded their star running back, Jordan Howard, to the Philadelphia Eagles. It's a conditional 6th-round pick coming back in return that could turn into a 5th-round pick based on what happens in the season. But Jordan Howard,
what is that all about?
I need to read into that to understand what the factors are that go into making that a conditional pick. But that's where it stands.
But how is that guy only worth a 6th-round pick?
I thought they could maybe get a fourth or a fifth round. It turns out they could get a sixth or a fifth round. But
what's wrong with him? He's their best back.
He's not that good.
I thought he was real good.
I never thought he was that good. He's not that fast. I think he's pretty replaceable, but I was kind of hoping. I think if they would have traded him before this last season, they could have got maybe something more for him. But they signed Mike Davis. They have Tariq Cohen.
They must have had to pay him this year.
I think they brought someone else in too, but they basically have four running backs on the roster and they total like $4 million in cap space and they'll probably draft somebody as well. Lastly, Sweet 16 tipped off last night. And it was Purdue coming, blowing an 18-point lead, only to rally back from a deficit late, and they beat Tennessee in overtime, 99-94. So Purdue advances to the Elite Eight out of the Big Ten. Michigan out of the Big Ten, not so fortunate. They were blown out by Texas Tech, 63-44 in the late one last night. So the Wolverine season is over. Joel's probably not thrilled about that. Number one seeded Gonzaga pulled away from Florida State late. They beat the Seminoles 72-58. And the other late game, it was Virginia hanging on to beat Oregon 53-49.
That guard, the Caucasian dude at Purdue, he drained those three.
Klein.
What?
Klein is his name.
Okay. I mean, I was watching him in the Tripoli when they had all the big screens. They had the Boston Red Sox getting spanked, and that was music to my ears. Chris Sale, he looked like me out there. Guys were driving him. A million yards on him. He gave up like three home runs in three innings or something. And they were all, none of them were cheap. Anyway, the kid, I never saw three-pointers in a row that they were right in the middle of the basket.
I know the net like barely moved.
That happens. If you're a basketball player and you shoot 100 shots, how many do you get like that, Matty? Like two?
Yeah, he was on. I watched
well, and the shots were kind of flat too.
Yeah.
So I looked at the fellow next to me. I did have the pleasure of watching the game last night with I'm at a college convention through this afternoon, and so I watched with my colleagues from Lafayette, which was great fun. I leaned over to the guy next to me at one point and said, he might as well throw those in overhand.
Yeah, really. I mean, they were, I never saw anything that exact. So, Matty, even though maybe, you know, someday I'll be looking down at you from hopefully up top, I never want to see this headline. Matt Weber retires from XYZ company, shares jump. Wells Fargo CEO Tim Sloan retires, shares jump. I never want to see that headline for you. You promise me that?
Well, I'll never probably be a CEO, so you won't see that.
Chief leaves PTI shares double. I don't want to see that. You see it all the time. How do you like to see that as a headline when you wake up in the morning? It's you. I mean, it happens, I guess, but...
Yeah, the parents are busting with pride, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's... I'll bet, you know, even though Wells Fargo's done nothing but, you know, seemingly... You know what, though? With the government controlling these people and then shoving money basically up their behind... I'm going to say that none of these people ever lost a paycheck. They all got their bonuses. They might have paid some fine, but so what? They have 10 times the cash as when he got there. And I mean, you can't lose. I mean, it's like Warren Buffett saying it's going to be a blip for Boeing. Where's anybody going to go? At some point, they're going to declare these planes okay, and they're right back to.
That's why, yeah, if you had the dough to pay up, buying Boeing on the dip made perfect sense because there's no competition. You know they're going to come back. It's not like they're going to go down to zero.
Well, if you could take a chunk if you ended up, I think, from what I've heard, the people who paid the 787s when they were offline because of the battery fires, Kevin, wasn't it? They grounded them for, off the top of my head, 50 days. And I'm going to say there were 40 planes out there, 30. My math could be off here, but the principle is the same. I think Boeing had to compensate people for all the days they were not in the air. I think. So now we're talking, there's 350 of them out there. And if it goes, you know, a few months, which it may not. I mean, if we're talking training of people and everything, it probably will be that they'll come back piecemeal, that they're going to end up having those, which probably should have been the same, the way it should have been in the first place, is the people who fly this thing just can't walk over from a 737-300 and hop in. I think you'll probably have to prove to somebody that you either were on a simulator, which they don't have yet, or at least have taken the test or whatever you want to call it online, that what's different about this plane. So I'm guessing that the credentials for the pilots might creep back a little bit of a time, Kevin, not just like all 737 pilots that used to fly one can hop on this thing tomorrow, but this is my guess. What do you think? I mean, so if you start adding all that up, plus the two that are down, if it turns out to be, quote, Boeing's fault, I don't know if that'll be years, but I think there's a lot of dough involved, but will it make a difference 5 years from now? I'm with you, Matty, but this year, could it be, you know, several billion dollars? Yeah. I mean, which is a chunk out of, you know, I mean, I'm saying it'll be some cash out of the checks, out of the stock right now. I mean, you can't debate it. If it's $10 billion and you got a billion shares outstanding, it's at least $10, right?
Yeah, but I think Boeing's already coming back.
Well, but they were, it's hard to tell because they were so low when Trump was running because he was going to redo every deal. And then he met with the Boeing people three times and all of a sudden he can't wait to give stuff to them.
Right.
And I don't know what happens if there's a, you know, an oath being taken in behind closed doors or whether it's something else. Whatever. The people that go see him seem to walk out with a whole different view of the world and a whole different view of the economy and their chunk from the government. It's just one man's observation. I think...
Hey, let's jump back on Sloan here for a second. He had the almost impossible job of taking over in the wake of their scandals. Now, I know Elizabeth Warren tweeted out that she's very, very glad he got canned. I think she said, I'm glad Tim Sloan got canned, and thank you for weighing in on a private business, Senator. But he was at the bank during those scandal years, and I'd have to dig into his bio to find out where he was in the bank. I don't know if he was a commercial lender, the finance side of the business. I have no idea. So that would be kind of important as to whether he knew or should have known what was going on. But I think his biggest problem, because as soon as all this got revealed, every state started piling on. Every state has, is going after the bank, and they should. I have no problem with that. They were so far out of line, and it's like one of my ultimate ethics cases to use in class. But we talked about optimism earlier. You remember when Iacocca took over Chrysler?
Yeah.
Chrysler was dying, and Iacocca immediately got, he became the face of Chrysler, and all he ever talked about was what they're doing, how they're getting better, all of those things, because it was going to go under.
Well, sure was.
Wells Fargo is still on the apology tour. Their ads are still out there running, hey, we're working to rebuild trust or to regain your trust or anything. 3 years later, at some point, just shut up and, try to be really good and have somebody who can get out in front of the public and articulate who they are without having to dwell on who they were.
Well, Kevin, what I have seen, and you're going to find this interesting coming from me, but when you talked about the states, in our business, and I don't really give a rat's behind if the idiots are listening, the states used to be, in PTI at one point, we were registered in 48 states. Now we're probably 36, because we had a couple people in one place and a couple of them died and that type of thing. But by and large, every state that anybody's in, we're in. So, but literally when we did that, we'd have to wake the people up in Montana and say, hey, we're trying to register out there. We got a couple people from Montana. Oh yeah, well the person who does that is like on vacation. I mean, there was absolutely zero, whatever you think regulation ought to be, there was none. You just had to send them a check, right? It's like being a barber has to be registered, but is anybody going to come by and check the haircuts? I mean, no. So the states thing was pretty much a joke. And so, because they were never proactive, they never really did it. I mean, if there was something good they could have been doing, they didn't know what it was and they didn't do it. I mean, this is 25 years ago. Now, if there's any firm, they eventually watch the tape. And if anybody gets in trouble with FINRA or any place for any reason, they pile on and say, well, this is a violation of, Illinois law or Iowa law, states where people where the person being involved isn't even in. So they've discovered this is a massive revenue source. Do you think these states actually give a rat's ass about their people getting hosed by Wells Fargo? They see Wells Fargo as a big money, and it theirs is a it's now a revenue producing place. So if there's a fine going somewhere, they want their piece of the fine. There's nothing.
You're frequently right on that one. Whether it's 100%, I don't know.
Oh, I didn't say 100%.
I know consumers got really screwed, and the bank, broke trust, and they wound up voluntarily firing 5,300 people. So I think that sort of speaks to the breadth of it. It would be rather cynical to not have any feeling for your customer base and the impact on them. You're probably right. it's just like the ones that went after tobacco. It was a tax, basically.
Or Elizabeth Warren is so anxious that every new job has to be a woman, a minority, something, whatever. How the hell does one of the key board members at this place, McConnell's wife, end up as our Secretary of Transportation? Why isn't she banned? Why doesn't Elizabeth Warren say this guy's gone on social Elena Cho? Just because she's Asian female now, she's got to have another job? Why does she have some? She ended up basically smelling like roses out of this place, and so did what's his name? Phil Graham's was his wife's name. She was the governance.
Mrs. Graham.
But she had the other name. She was Wendy Graham. You're right.
By the way, we gotta get this right. It's Elaine Chao.
Okay. And all right. And when Wendy Graham was the governance person on the Enron board, and ended up with some cabinet position.
Yeah, and that's problematic. And we can go all the way through this. There are so many. What the Mylan CEO that with the EpiPens is Manchin's daughter. I mean, you got to believe that connections in here are, that the political connections are a big part of what's happening. I'm not saying that. Manchin's daughter, I can't remember her name now off the top of my head.
She's attractive, too, as I recall.
I'm not saying she, doesn't deserve the job, isn't capable of doing the job or anything like that, but I am also saying that connections really matter a lot.
Did you ever see the list of people she had on the board? Half more 100 years old. Kissinger was on the board. Some general that had to be 95 was on. It was a list of everybody who's who in Washington from like 1975. Around her board. How many board meetings do you think Kissinger showed up to? I mean, do you think he even knew?
All of them. You don't get the check unless you show up.
Well, you can call in for 5 seconds. People used to do that.
I suppose so. Yeah, and honestly, most boards now, most companies are limiting the number of boards that someone can where someone can serve, so that you're not seeing as many four, five, six boards of directors anymore. But it was also pretty incestuous, just the way that worked.
There was an article for I've always been one of these people. What's fair is fair for anybody. And like I said, I was on one board, and it's a lot of work. There was an African American lady who was the head of City College in New York. She was on like 8 or 9 or 10 boards.
Yeah, and that's not the same. It's not as frequent a practice as it used to be.
Well, and there was this lady they just interviewed a while ago, and she's one of the original women that got on boards. And it's not like she's not bright. She sure as hell is. But she's been on something like 20, Kevin. And every place she goes, all she does is she's rattling off. Well, we just made this lady now became head of compensation at this place. It had nothing to do with. I mean, I'm going to say that they probably are very or at least as good as the guys. But I mean, it was her mission in life to put women in these spots. Well, okay, did any of them ever vote no against a pay raise? I mean, what are you willing to give up to get that spot? I guarantee you, you're not on 10 boards if you vote against pay raises.
It depends on whose pay raises you mean.
Well, if it's people low enough in the totem pole, yeah. Hey, so let's talk about a little bit more about the basketball. So long forgotten is all the shoe scandals and everything, huh?
Yeah, you know what drives me nuts is so many of the coaches that were involved in this stuff and have been involved over the past still get lionized. So,
yeah.
You know, when I hear how great Roy Williams is after we saw what went on in his program with academic abuse for decades, literally for decades, you know, when I see a panel last week during the ACC tournament of Boeheim, whose you know program has been on probation for academic fraud, Roy Williams with the academic fraud, and Krzyzewski, who doesn't have any penalties for academic fraud, but has implemented the one and done model in such a way that it would make John Calipari blush. You know, it drives me nuts. And then they start talking about you know some of the ethics issues in sports. And, you know, I just sit there and go, what is wrong with you people having, you know, having this be your citation? I guess their points of view are, you know, should have some value, but I don't want to hear it. You know, I just don't want to hear it from those guys.
I couldn't agree more. And then I also hate everyone fawning over Bruce Pearl and Kelvin Sampson.
I agree. Yep, two more.
Serial cheaters in every aspect of the word, and yet they keep getting jobs, and then obviously they're great coaches. And they bend the rules and get the players, and here they are in the Sweet 16 playing for the Elite Eight tonight, and everyone talks about, you know, the great job they've done.
Yeah, and Pearl couldn't get hired until his show cause penalty expired.
Right.
But this is...
You know, why would a school even consider that?
I'm gonna say that we have, not everybody, certainly not the people we hang around with, that there's an attitude that if you're not cheating, you're not trying right now. I mean... It is interesting, Kevin. When you're in town, we'll go work out at the club, and there's about four guys up there, led by your buddy Beldo, he's such a riot. I mean, he's like, you know, he absolutely believes that if you either win with thugs or you lose to thugs, and you've got to get the right coach that knows just what his job is, and that's to be the coach, not to get people through school, not to be anything. He's just to put W's up on the board. And I mean, if one of these guys all of a sudden tomorrow, I mean, if Eric's brother played pro ball, he goes, it's some coaches learn how to pay people without being caught, and those are the guys that do the best. I mean, because they get the players, and they all just wherever they go, the players immediately know. And it's almost reaching a point, Kevin. I think a lot of this money is coming from different sort of places. And one thing I want to do someday when you're on. We can strangle him and get him in here. I'd like to get Dave Murphy on because last night went through a whole routine with people regarding the entire level of corruption that this AAU has brought to college sports. It's no longer just the high school coach and then the college. The amount of corruption that they've introduced to the game of all levels, women's sports, everything, is something we haven't even nobody's even going after it. Nobody even understands it. It's that bad, and you know, with all the camps and all of this and the other stuff. But the idea that some kid is getting you know a 20 grand pop or his uncle's getting a pickup truck to go to you know Sidewash State and all of a sudden that kid the next day saying well I'm not going to go to Sidewash I'm going to go to Notre Dame or Michigan or wherever I mean, pick a place I don't think that money is easily given. That's like cutting a deal on a mafia. I think there's threats. I don't think you see people that have taken money all of a sudden keeping their, shall we say, freedom to choose. And then why would you? I mean, let me get this straight. If I was of that ilk, which I'm not, here's a new pickup for Uncle Joe, and I drive up with a new Chevy Mon to go to Notre Dame, and the next day the kid says I'm going to Alabama. I don't know you're not. Not with both legs.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to play with those broken legs.
Yeah, not with both kneecaps intact. I mean, come on. I mean, it has the ability to get very, very dirty very fast if you don't keep it clean. And it's not clean. So question is, where is the money coming from? Where is it? I mean, Urban Meyer.
I have to fish out my Bagman article for you.
Yeah, but Urban Meyer, all of a sudden, if he unretires in 2 years, there'll be alumni all over the place that are willing to buy out the Matt Weber $50 million coaching deal at Texas X&X and put Urban Meyer in there because the current guy was only 10-3 last year instead of 13-0 or whatever the hell they are. I mean, the money is just, it's spectacular, Kevin. If you would have took, I made the mistake, instead of just asking you guys because you would know, trying to figure out the top 10 biggest stadiums now in college football, because I figured they were different than when I could have rattled them off, and they are. God, Kevin, the amount of money that has been put in college football stadiums in the last 20 years, and I'll bet it pays itself back faster than any other investment
they have. That tells you how much money there is in college football.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just
drop hundreds of millions of dollars into it. That tells you that, you know, that whatever the books say ain't what's really there.
It has nothing to do with the amount of money somebody has to give you just to buy the $100 ticket.
Yep. Hey, last shot before you kick me out of here. Did you read the Taibbi article I sent you?
That's today's project, but I didn't.
Okay, because I think that'll be an interesting conversation.
Should we tweet it out?
Lane, and unfortunately, I have to go down and join a session, so I'll have to listen to it on the archive. But
why don't we tweet it out?
An incredible time.
Why don't we talk? Tweet it out and talk about it next Wednesday.
Yeah, and I'll see you tomorrow, so we can also talk tomorrow.
Yeah,
about
but
it.
Nobody can hear us there,
huh?
Nobody can hear us there.
Well, that's a good point.
I've
never stopped us before.
Hey, how come all of a sudden there's a lack of tickets? Because I think I got two dates.
Well, there are some tickets, but they're all in the upper arena on the end. Now, in Wintrust, that's not an awful seat, but I told you a while back that the two seats right next to the four I bought were available. You should have grabbed them.
Well, I didn't think Aud could make it. She's usually showing houses. Now she can make it, which is fine. She's my first choice. And then I said to Jay-Z, I said, if Aud can't make it, she wanted to meet you. So she goes, yeah, I'm in. So now Aud thinks maybe she can make it. So guess what Jay-Z's solution is? Guess what the female solution
buy
is?
Buy an extra ticket.
Buy an extra ticket, and wherever it is, you go sit there. Aud and I will sit with Kevin.
Hey, that works for me.
I think Kevin wins, and then you'll probably get stuck for a dinner anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's no doubt about that. He's got to pay for two. I mean, it is amazing dealing with that part of the species, isn't it? It's just, you know. Anyway, thanks, Kevin. SP Futures.
You're not going to get me to bite on that.
Oh,
one.
God.
No way.
I didn't say it wasn't.
I'll call you later, Tom.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I just said it's interesting. SP Futures up 11. SP Futures up 33. I'm the one who wants to see Kevin. You go sit somewhere else. Thanks, Jay-Z. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tommy, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. And SP Future now up 1250. As the Future's up 38, we're kind of racking and rolling here a little bit with the trade talk news being branded as constructive 2 days after. I actually thought we'd be up, we should be up more the other day when the rumor was circled that the China came out with kind of a breakthrough on some of the intellectual property stuff. Of course, no definition of any of this stuff. Wayne, how are you, bud?
Very good.
Promise me I won't see the headline.
Considering what we seem to be up against.
Well, promise me I won't see the headline one day. Wayne Mattson leaves Washington Post, stock doubles.
No, you can rest assured that I would never have my name associated with the Washington Compost.
I'm looking at this Wells Fargo up a buck today. This guy leave. Of course, every other bank stock's up too. It's probably not just because the guys leave it, but of course that's what the headline is. It makes it sound better. What is on the top list of things going on, Wayne? What's number one? I mean, go ahead.
You want? I know undoubtedly people and maybe yourself. You've either seen the movie The Firm or read the book by John Grisham. I feel that we're living out the screenplay in the movie The Firm. Now, you're very familiar, of course, with the Chicago law firm Kirkland & Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
It turns out that William Barr, the current attorney general, he was with Kirkland & Ellis, and he had his hooks into the Justice Department when Jeff Sessions was there. He had his hooks into the Mueller special prosecutor's or special counsel's office. Brian Benchkowski, who was with Kirkland & Ellis, and actually represented the Russian bank, Alpha Bank, that had a server in the Trump Tower where they were, it was handling financial transfers during the 2016 campaign. He is now in the Justice Department as a principal assistant attorney general, and he has been there for quite a while. there was conflict of interest raised by the Senate Judiciary Committee, but it went down to basically a party line vote, and he became basically one of the Attorney General's right hand men. We also have Pat Cipollone, who is the General Counsel for the White House. He took over from John Dow. He came out of Kirkland and Ellis. We have Solicitor General. He's come out of Kirkland and Ellis. In other words, almost every key Justice Department job has been filled by one of William Barr's friends at Kirkland and Ellis. And it doesn't stop there, but you also have Barr's son-in-law was working as the assistant U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Virginia. That is where the prosecutor that Mueller was relying on for the prosecutions of Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. And it doesn't stop there, because you had Barr's daughter working in the Deputy Attorney General's office, working directly under Rod Rosenstein, and now she's going over to the Treasury Department, the group there, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which you're aware that they handle all the suspicious activity reports in banking, and she's going to be working there, and they're still handling cases having to do with Trump. And beyond that, Mr. Barr's son-in-law has been now detailed over to the White House General Counsel's office, where he's probably, I'm sure that all these people saw the Mueller report, or at least knew about its status long before he delivered his report this past week.
Oh, I would agree with that. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, coming from Chicago, the idea of something secret, nothing secret. I mean, who's getting over?
Yeah, it's amazing that you see one law firm where Barr was, and all these people now in the Justice Department. Basically, Trump has stacked the decks with his loyalists, and of course now. We don't know what's in it. I've heard that the report may be just shy of 700 pages, 300 pages of the body, and then the rest of it, appendices, attachments, exhibits. So we're talking about quite a tome that Barr seemed to summarize in a 3.5-page Cliff's Notes version of the report.
I don't know anything, but in terms of, I sure haven't read it. But my view of the thing always was, Wayne, and I, you know, seemed to have come out somewhere right in the dead center of this one by luck or something, was that they were going to find an amazing amount of errors of judgment, probably lack of morals, but they never actually hooked up with anybody purposely on the Russian side, maybe through ignorance or didn't realize it was actually being offered to them. And it would come out with not enough evidence to go anywhere, which is pretty much where it landed.
Yeah, of course, we don't know what kind of spin Barr, now we know he can't be trusted as far as most people can throw him. We don't know what kind of spin he put on the Mueller report. He may have actually lied in this 3.5-page summary, and that's not what the Mueller report says. Now, I want to see, Barr is a master cover-up artist. He's the guy that covered up the whole Iran-Contra scandal to protect George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan and other key members of the administration, those who were nailed, like Caspar Weinberger and Elliot Abrams, who was returned like a bad penny into this administration. It was Barr who arranged their last-minute pardons as Christmas presents on Christmas Eve in December 1992. So in Barr, I should point out that Barr started out his employment from 1973 to 1977 working at where the Central Intelligence Agency. So he's very adept at creating spin and, you know, perception management and plausible deniability and all those things that they teach the professional liars who work for the CIA.
Well, what I guess the question is when you get down this road, and I don't know that Trump is really like that. I mean, if you really push him to the wall, but I know he seems to be. I don't know. He seems to be somewhat of a total narcissist and doesn't quite get the fact that every government is in our society doesn't exactly work for you. They serve at your pleasure, but
right.
I don't know if he knows the difference between the two or cares. But, I mean, it seems to me almost that if somebody was, I'm going to say, meaner than him and smarter than him, and you had the right story, I'm almost thinking a dictator could come in here. I mean, I'm not so sure they could.
Some people claim the dictator has already arrived. He hasn't left the building.
Well, I mean, I think there's the next guy is always worse if they follow along that. I mean, clearly a lot of younger people now, because I talk to as many as I can, are almost not. They're going to tell you, but the whole idea that if you're not at the edge of the envelope, you're almost to the point where if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And we get to, but I'll run into Trump supporters all over the place. And I would never voted for Hillary. So, and my biggest, how's this for a word, pissed offness about Trump is he had the most incredible opportunity that in a lifetime. And instead of being the man from the outside that actually showed people a different way and did things correctly, he's, you know, I don't know what he's doing, but, I mean, he's dropping back into being himself. Maybe it's the pressure of the job. Maybe it's the fact that he's an outsider and they won't let him do anything, which is very possible. I mean, all these things are part of it. And that's why I have you on and other people to try and weigh which is more than the other, because I honestly don't know. But, I mean, the idea that, you know, could you get the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, if it was their side, to vote for, you know, who's the guy that they killed in the one, could they vote Heinrich Himmler and those other people in just on party lines? I think in the way today's world, both sides would. They don't care about any of these people as long as, I mean, like you say, there's not a question of, them wanting the best people in there. Is if you agree, you're in. I mean,
Well, we've seen that. Unfortunately, we've seen that with almost every administration. They tend to bring their cronies in, but what's really surprising about this administration is that they called all these people close to the Attorney General from the same law firm. Like I say, you know, Kirkland Ellis said, you know, although they're based in Chicago and were founded in Chicago, they're all over the world.
Right.
They got a very strong presence.
Well, how's that different than Goldman Sachs?
You find Goldman Sachs, exactly. There's another outfit that you see all over the administration in key positions. It's really unbelievable.
But let's turn devil's advocate on you. How does an individual sort of not do that? I mean, suppose you elected a two-headed monster, you and I, tomorrow. We're gonna be co-presidents, because you know stuff that I don't know, and I know stuff that you don't know. We're going to plop our two behinds in the Oval Office. We have to have two desks. And you're going to say, hey, you know anybody for Attorney General? And I go, I don't know. Let's ask this guy who the best person is around. So we're going to get that guy, and he doesn't know anybody in Washington, or maybe he does, and first thing he's going to do is ask somebody else, who can I trust to be my deputy? Well, the person who's going to be my deputy was my deputy at Kirkland Ellis or Goldman Sachs. I mean, how does it go from just being normal human behavior to being something way more sinister than that?
Well, see, the White House does, it sounds unbelievable, and it can't be very busy these days. They do have an office, an ethics office.
Yeah.
It sounds counterintuitive.
Well, so does the city of Chicago.
And, and the ethics office would, in the past, normally say, hey, look, we're a little too top-heavy on people from this particular law firm or this particular company. Let's look elsewhere. Now, yeah, they do tend to come from the same white shoe law firms and from the same the Wall Street companies, if we're talking about Treasury Department, things like that, but they tend not to want to be linked to any one particular firm. Now, we've seen that happen in the past, of course, in past administrations, but and not to the degree, like I say, that we've seen this one particular law firm represented so heavily in the Justice Department and all a link to William Barr, who came in the job saying, I don't agree with the special counsel. I don't think there should be a special counsel. And, of course, he auditioned for the job by sending this 19-page unsolicited memo to the Justice Department saying, you know, basically laying out why Mueller shouldn't have his job and there shouldn't be a special counsel. Now, for all you know, these key positions to come from the same law firm, I think Mueller was basically doomed from the very beginning under those circumstances.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm trying to think fairly that if somebody landed me there, you know, as an SEC job or something like that, because people hear me ranting and raving about the markets, finally the phone rings and says, hey, Chief, you want to do something about it? Here's a spot for you. I'm probably going to think of the people in the industry that I know of that I think are real bright, that, by the way, sort of agree with my views on what the market ought to be. I'm going to bring them in with me. Why wouldn't I? I mean, I'm trying to separate my Chicago instincts from, okay,
yeah,
the guy brought five people in to think like him and he can trust. Well, duh. Who am I going to bring in? Five people I don't know that I don't trust? I mean, I'm not.
Well, you'd have to clear congressional, you know, Senate confirmation.
Right.
Where they look at these issues too, and like I say, the Office of Government Ethics looks at these issues. Now, with the current SEC chairman, Jay Clayton, yeah, you've got that preponderance of Goldman Sachs in there, and questions have been raised about how many Goldman Sachs people are now basically looking over the hen house.
Well, how many treasuries in a row? Treasury secretaries in a row are from Goldman, and how many? You know, and they're still one of the major people you call every day when you do your government bond stuff. They're a primary dealer. Well, you can't tell me. Look at the money. That what's his name? Who's the? I won't say buffoon. The Treasury Secretary before in 2008 that gave that massive check to AIG that flowed right through to Goldman.
Let's see. Before 2008, was that Mr. Snow or
no? After him. Guy from Goldman.
After him.
The tall guy. The glasses that, you know, that he was the face of the recovery. We had to put this in to break the bank. He's the one who did to give the banks all that money. Tells his name.
Yeah, they start to blend together after a while.
Snow was the guy from the chess.
BFX.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what the game is there? One night after, let's just say, a few adult beverages, Duke Chapman, who's long passed, I like Duke, nice guy, he was a chairman of the CBOE, but his family had a long history in politics. His dad at the what's the big club right on Central Park West, was it Carnegie that built it, the big not the health club, the men's club, whatever the hell you want to call it.
There's quite a few private men's clubs.
It's the one where it's the gorgeous one where they got all the sculptors, Smiddly and the whole bit. When Carnegie didn't want the one downtown because it was too exclusive, then he ended up building it. Anyway, Duke's dad is on the board, or in the hallway. They always make these portraits of former chairmen. His dad's chairman was bigger than Carnegie's.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget the name of that club. I'll find it because I was there a bunch of times. Not as a member, but just the anyway. So they were big shareholders in who were the guys that bought ABC?
It was Cap Cities
for
Disney. Yeah.
Yeah, his dad ended up taking a job as an ambassador and had to sell his stock in Cap Cities like 2 years before somebody bought it.
Well, the biggest shareholder in Cap Cities was none other than William Casey, who then became the head of the CIA.
Yeah,
we're talking about this. 6 degrees of separation. It goes down to about 2 degrees or 1 degree of separation.
But there's a little known favorite college rule that if you take one of these jobs, I don't know how high up the food chain it is, you're supposed to. Now what's his name? Cheney sort of changed all this. I don't know how he did.
Yes.
But it used to be that you had if you own Goldman Sachs stock or CSX stock, CSX used to be Chessie System. That's why I keep using that name. You didn't have to pay taxes on it. Eventually you did, but you could skip 20 years or skip a generation or some BS, and it's in the tax law. So that's why you get people like Arthur Levitt becoming head of the SEC. He got to sell his DLJ stock. Now, I don't know the full tax. I'll dig it up. You try and find it in the tax code. You almost have to go to your accountant, and he has to look for it for a couple of days because it's hard to find.
but
you essentially can. Yeah. Somehow you can delay it, and then if you end up giving it to your grandkids or something, you never have to pay. It's some involved deal. But that you ask yourself, why would Jon Snow get out of Chessy just to take the Treasury Department job? Well, Duke was telling Dr. J and I one night, he goes, you do that because you don't pay tax on it. John and I look at him like, what do you mean? He goes, you don't have to pay tax. That's why Arthur Levitt took that job. That's why Arthur Levitt was Duke's law school roommate. That's how connected these guys are. And but I mean, there's all these little thingies that go on sort of in Washington, the reason why these guys sort of come together. But I think you're probably, if ever there's a place, you know, maybe I would be the worst person to go out there. I mean, if you give me a job, I want two people around me. I want my brother giving me the numbers because I can trust them as long as the day is long. I don't want some other schmuck doing it. You know, it's just like Pete Najarian used to go to a Waffle House place out in Sacramento when he played for, what was the name of the team out there, Kevin? Pete played for those guys. Was it USFL or whatever it was? He was the first guy ever to have a camera in his helmet. John's brother Pete.
Really?
Yeah, he was. I watched one of the games. It was interesting. All of a sudden, you see the helmet and bang into some guy. They stopped doing that. I don't know if the camera's going to get broken or what. But whatever the team was, they'd go to this Waffle House place. Well, of course, Pete never took steroids. So let's say Pete helped a few guys out in the bathroom at the Waffle House. But he said to the guy who owns the Waffle House, he goes, how many Waffle Houses do you have? And he goes, 7. Aren't you going to want any more? He goes, no, I don't want any more. He goes, why? He goes, I only have 7 brothers. I don't trust anybody else. I mean, I think if I went to Washington, Wayne, you'd be first on my list. I mean, there are people who say, how the hell is this Wayne Mattson guy? I hire you because I can trust you, right? I mean,
Well, in Washington, there's not too many people you can trust. I always said to be successful in Washington, you know, keep your close friends where you can count them on one hand.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But never allow your number of enemies to outnumber those close friends that you can count on one hand. So if you get more than 5 bitter enemies, you're in trouble in Washington.
Well, with all these kind of people that sort of, you know, go around these guys, Cheney, some people seem to be able to move the envelope, for lack of a better term. I mean, Cheney, I mean, he was messing around with his stock all the time he was in office.
Oh, yeah.
How all of a sudden did he, Paulson is the guy I'm talking about.
Oh, right, exactly. Right.
How did this guy, you know, how did he change all that? When I first was on the trading floor, one of my buddies, who go nameless, he was a tax attorney here. Not that kind of tax, property tax attorney. Talk about somebody who knows where the skeletons are. He said, you know, there were two guys out in my area that, I don't know if you know much about Chicago politics, but back in the day when I was in high school, they had a constitutional convention. And I don't know who wrote the laws, but you couldn't be a current politician in any public office and run for that thing. It'd be all new people. So all these guys ran, and they're all in their 20s. Not all, but a lot of them ran in their 20s. Just to learn how to do a campaign and get their, you know, name on people's front yard and so forth. This entire generation that's now either croaking or retiring, the Madigans, the Richie Dailies, all those guys
delegates.
Delegates. Yeah, they were all delegates to the convention. And of course, once they ran for one office and won, they all became, you know, state reps and this, that, and the other thing. And, two guys were in our area, Marty Russo, and there was another guy, another Italian-American guy, that, of course, were best friends until one day Illinois lost so many people that their two sections were kind of combined and they had to run against each other. I don't think they talk anymore to this day, and that was 30 years ago, but two best friends it were. Anyway, but when Marty Russo, my buddy, was telling me, he goes, in those days, this is 1982, he goes, you actually have to put everything you have in a trust. At that time, I'm thinking the reps were making 45 grand a year, something like that, maybe 40. Some of you know more about that than me. He goes, you got to keep 2 houses. You got to travel back and forth. These guys don't have any dough. He goes, when he goes to Beverly Country Club, he's a guest. Every guy from his law school is doing better than him, and they're all in these country clubs, and he's not. You don't want to be a rep. if anything, you want to be an alderman, because it's a part-time job. You can still be an attorney and be an alderman. And, oh, by the way, you're a much better attorney if you're an alderman. Duh. He goes, those are the jobs. You want one of these Illinois part-time jobs. You want to be the head tax assessor who's also a lobbyist with the state. I went to one of these shindigs out west. Talk about an all-white party. It's one of these. It's a Republican thing. It's out in Burr Ridge, of all places, if you know where Burr Ridge is. I walk in. Well, actually, there was one guy of not Lily White, and he was a guy that owned a. He was there giving money because he owned some big pizza place, and they were giving him grief about he was giving him dough so he could get a zoning, not a zoning variance, just a permit, you know, because he was paying off kind of thing. But the guy who's
wait a minute now, you said yeah. The pizza guy was giving him dough.
Cash. Yeah. So the guy who's the head, he was the highest ranking Republican in the Senate at the time, gives me his business card. It has nothing to do with him being a senator. It's his law firm. I mean, those jobs right. are way more valuable. But somewhere now down the line, all these, I don't think these guys put this stuff in trust anymore. Wayne, I mean, Cheney didn't. I mean, I get the feeling these guys are trading this stuff. There's even rules.
I have to think, you know, well, of course, with the Trump Organization, it's privately held. It's, there's no, you know, it's all, it's like a family business. But I got to think that many of the people he's got in his administration, like Mnuchin and people like that, are still dabbling, regardless of what the Office of Government Ethics has to say.
Well, if it's possible for you to do it, and you see the market down, and you see Larry Kudlow or one of the other creatures running out with some story at 2 in the afternoon to talk about how great the China stuff is, if you don't pick up the phone and buy 3 futures, you're either unable to do it, too stupid to do it, or don't have an account. I mean, how could you not?
Yeah. And I'm very concerned, having worked with people who used to work on the unemployment statistics every month. That used to be sacrosanct before they made the announcement. I'm very concerned that people now have early access to those numbers, which, of course, again, they could clean up if they were so exposed.
Actually, take it from me. I read there is a group out of Hong Kong. Maddie, we had, how many years ago was this? Because I have it here someplace. They went through and tried to figure out who was front running what. And they came to the conclusion that virtually nobody is front running the labor numbers. Everybody is front running the Treasury announcements.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, one of the contributors to the show, what was his name, Maddie? The guy who, he went to one of the, he was a Washington Wall Street Journal guy, and he went to one of Janet Yellen's news conferences, and he asked her a question about
Pedro da Costa,
about where the front-running investigations were in the Fed announcements. The look on her face, he was never invited back. He was banned. This is a true story. He was banned. Now, whether he's years later, now he's got himself back in with another place or not, I don't know, but he was never invited back because they want no part of knowing. I mean, I saw nights where all of a sudden they come out with a speech where the spoods had already been up or down or whatever. I mean, people knew the content of those speeches. And this guy from Hong Kong basically published this article and said, you know, I'll tell you this, Wayne, if you told me, as good as I think I am in the business, if you gave me every labor number 2 minutes before it went out, I have no idea how to trade that. Because, yeah. I mean, it's totally different than, it's the reaction to it. Now, the Fed numbers, the Fed stuff, if all of a sudden you tell me, what's his name, suddenly turns dovish, come on, a third grader knows how to trade that. I'll make money 9 out of 10 on those things. But the labor numbers, there was a guy allegedly on the trading floor. His dad went to, you know, he's one of the, what do you call the boarding schools where, I mean, in my view, those are, I mean, you don't get those numbers ahead of the people, but if you're the Eastern point of view, that's why you went to that boarding school, because you do get the numbers ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
It's a whole different look on the world in Southside Chicago. This guy, I think it was AT&T or maybe IBM, one of them, he had the numbers a half hour before they hit the floor every single time they came out with earnings for like 5 years. And allegedly, he was like 5 and 15 and making money. Because he had no idea what the reaction would be to it and what the conference call would be like. So just having the head number doesn't do you much good. Same thing with the labor number. I mean, if it's lousy, what do? Buy it or sell it? I mean, if you sell it, then you forget the part about, oh, now the Fed thinks the economy's crappy enough to where they won't raise rates again, and it goes the other way. I mean, it's very, because the Fed is so involved in this stuff, it's very difficult to deal with. Now the Fed announcements, now those are different. So where do you think this goes? I mean, I don't see how this goes anymore, Wayne. I mean, unless there's something, some smoking gun in about somebody buried in an appendix, how, you know, the Trump owes some guy in Russia personally $90 bazillion. I don't see how it goes anywhere. Do you?
Well, like I say, on this whole issue of the investigation, we have to also realize that many U.S. attorneys' offices are continuing with their own investigations. Now, whether Barr allows those to continue is another story. From the last 2 weeks, we know that there is an active investigation of the former deputy finance chairman of the Republican Party, whose colleague, co-deputy chairman, was Michael Cohen. This guy, Elliot Broidy, his offices and his wife's offices were raided in Beverly Hills. So we know there's a grand jury out in the Central District of California in Los Angeles that's looking at potential Trump issues out there. We know about the Eastern District of Virginia, Southern District of New York, District of Columbia, and now apparently the Eastern District of New York and Brooklyn may be involved in some things. So this is far as the Justice Department probe, it's far from over. It may be over for Robert Mueller, but I think we still have other, like I said, you know, somebody asked me the other day, I said, look, the opera hasn't even started, and the fat lady is just warming up. If they're allowed to take their normal legal constitutional courses without interference from guys like Barr and Trump. And as far as people say, well, Barr is the attorney general, he wouldn't do anything bad. He's chief law enforcement officer of the United States. I remind them of John Mitchell. John Mitchell did 19 months in federal penitentiary for his crimes associated with the Watergate scandal. So just because you're the AG doesn't mean you're not a crook.
Well, Wayne, thank you very much, buddy. Good luck out there in the swamp. Don't get nailed by an alligator. S&P futures up 12. NASDAQ futures up 34. We'll come back with Mr. John Neal. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for
stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Low and hope-based Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. It's Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 12 now. NASDAQ Futures up 34. Pretty much solid all morning. A lot of it has to do with Mnuchin saying the U.S.-China trade talks were constructive. I think they went there, and now the other guys are coming here next week. And seems to be some movement this week on some of the intellectual property stuff for the Chinese. I don't know how, well, nobody seems to know how enforceable it's going to be, but at least there appears to be, from multiple sources, some movement from them on this. And whether that includes an admission of what they did in the past, I'm gonna guess they stay away from that, but, I don't know, time will tell. The Dow futures up 113. Over in Europe, we've got rallies here as well. We have the DAX up 87. Well, it's 0.8. They were up a full percent last time we looked. FTSE up 20.3%. They have their Brexit problems. CAC around up 39.7. So they're coming back a hair, but still strong. Nikkei up 172.8%, 21,205. Shanghai up 95. That's up 3%. They're back over 3,000. They're under 3,000 this week as well. So we're violently within these ranges now. I mean, we'll see when we break out. But right now, we're kind of violent within a range. Hang Seng up 273. Again, that's a full 1%. Oil with the big rally over. It's $1.16 now. $60.46. Brent $68.80. RBOB gas pushing toward $2. $1.92, $1.91.5. So $1.92 up 3 cents. And we've got gold rallying here a little bit as well, up $5, back over $1,300, $1,300.50. Silver up 11 cents, $15.09. They were down kind of a chunk yesterday. We've come back up today. Maybe we got forest traffic, weather, sports.
40 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash now on the outbound Eisenhower at St. Charles Road. A car in the ditch that's causing some delays as crews work to get that taken care of. So that's affecting the outbound Ike. Inbound side looks normal for this type of morning, or this time of morning on a Friday. Same with the Stevenson. Southside expressways have looked good all morning. Edens and Kennedy looking normal. The only other issue in the area is what we reported on last hour. Route 41 northbound is still closed due to an earlier rollover crash between Wesley Road and Old Elm Road up in the northern burbs. A vehicle apparently is way off into the woods, and there's an investigation going on, and that has Route 41 closed, so avoid that if at all.
It's good when you got to follow the car into the woods. It's not good.
Not what you want. No. Everything else looking good out there, though. Weather today, some sunshine early, could have a shower or two roll in later on. We'll be much cooler than we've been the last couple of days. A high of just 47 with wind chills in the 30s. Right now, it's mostly sunny and 43 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 82 today. Right now, it's clear and 56. In sports, opening day baseball saw the Cubs blow out the Rangers down in Texas 12-4. White Sox lost in Kansas City to the Royals 5-3. D-backs were taken to the woodshed by the Dodgers 12-5. In hockey, Blackhawks with a one-goal win over the Sharks 5-4 in San Jose. Hawks remain 5 points back with just 5 games to play, so they probably need to win out if they're going to grab one of those final wildcard spots.
They've been playing hard.
NFL, the Bears made a splash. They traded Jordan Howard, who's led the team in rushing the last 3 seasons, to the Philadelphia Eagles. They'll get a 6th-round pick that could turn into a 5th-round pick. We're going to figure out what exactly that means, but a conditional 6th-round pick is what they call it, and that's what the Bears will get in return.
It's like a bag of balls.
No, I don't think it's a bag of balls, but I think they maybe could have gotten something better if they would have traded him sooner. NCAA basketball Sweet 16, it was Purdue advancing to the Elite Eight. They won against Tennessee in overtime 99-94. Michigan was blown out. Their season's over. They lost to Texas Tech 63-44. Gonzaga and Virginia both advanced as 1 seeds. Tonight, it'll be Michigan State against LSU in a 2-3 matchup that's highly anticipated. Number 1, North Carolina will battle number 5-seeded Auburn, which should be a good one. And then the night games are Duke and Virginia Tech in an ACC matchup. And then the headliner is Kentucky versus 3-seeded Houston as they look to get to the Elite Eight. Chief.
Any chance Duke might lose?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they almost lost on Sunday.
They probably should have lost.
Yeah. I think they were outplayed for a lot of that game. And a guy missed a wide-open tip-in at the buzzer that would have beat them.
And the guy swallowed their whistle. I mean, that's kind of a... John, how are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
All right. We're getting a little bit of... Our gold was looking lousy. Now it's come back a little bit. What do you make of all this? The rally is here. I always get concerned when we have this. Last few years, we've poured money into the system, and all of a sudden it looks like we're slowing down just about everywhere worldwide. You know, hopefully not dramatically, but if we slow down even a little bit, how much more can we throw at it? If all of a sudden, after all this time, we end up in another recession, people are going to look around and go, what the bleep? What do we do? I think. I don't know. Is there some magical pot of money that nobody's telling us about?
No, and that's obviously that's a fear, going forward. But there's not much they can throw at it.
The formula has been. I mean, if you look back at all there'd be like a million of them. But I'm going to say if you look back at all the announcements on the economy for the last since 2009, virtually every one that was negative had a positive effect on the stock market, because a negative economic report meant more money from the Fed, more money into the system, stocks go up. And I just feel in my heart of hearts that there's a limit to that, and which has not been proven true, by the way. I don't know. I get the feeling that there's a little bit of a tone change in the last 6 months or so. But I don't know. We could do this another 5 years. I'll tell you what. I'm way longer than I used to be. I mean, I don't constantly speculate to the south side or the south side, the sell side, because, you know, it never happens. It happened a little bit last quarter, and we were okay with that. But, I mean, by and large, I mean, I'm very respectful of the upside here, because the calls I do have short for people, except for, it's funny, John. I got a whole bunch of people in the Russell. And a whole bunch of people in the QQQ, and the QQQ, because of the fangs are in there, has come flying back a lot faster than Russell. I mean, I'm still, my calls are still 5 hours out of the money in the Russell, but I'm right on the doorstep on the QQQs. I've had to, roll those up because they were actually in the money a little bit. So QQQ has performed way better than Russell in the last 6 weeks, 10 weeks.
Yeah, not surprising, Mark.
Part of that is it's those are fang stocks that are dominant in there, and they've come back pretty dramatically. And even though people think that the only one that hasn't so much is Facebook, but still, considering all the crap that's being thrown at that company, nobody seems to care. Everybody thinks all these governments are eunuchs, and they think people are just going to keep throwing that. Nobody cares. I mean, people complain about your privacy, and the next thing you do is sign up for Facebook. I mean, I was on yesterday, just for laughs, because we were talking about it on the show. I Googled more secure emails. You can get an email account that is much more secure. They're like $20 a year, $25, and it's such that if you and I both get the same address, Manny or Jen, that everything we send between each other is encrypted, and the thing's overseas. And even they destroy it after a month or something. It's unbelievable. I mean, what you can get for like $20, and people absolutely will not pay the $20, and even though they know Google's reading the damn thing, they got to use Google. I mean, I haven't signed up for one yet, but I might do it just so I can say I did on the show. I don't put that much in there that I care about anybody's reading, but that's not the point. The point is they're reading it. What would I do, Manny, if I had an email every time I put it up there I didn't get an ad? Would I think the world is boring or what? If I just actually had an email company, that's all I did was email.
That's a good question. I don't know that I get ads in my email, but maybe I do.
Notice them. But you get. No, I don't get ads in email.
But there's no doubt they can read it.
Yeah,
that's if they wanted to. That's for sure.
I mean, it's. I'm stunned at how it jumps from if you're looking at at tires, and all of a sudden you kick up CNBC. There's a tire ad on top of CNBC. I don't.
Well, yeah, that's your browser. There's no doubt that they're doing that.
Well, it's getting pretty close to the reservation when you start doing that. I mean, where's Google going to get the information? I guess we could use the other. What was the one that Kevin said we should use instead of Google, where they actually use the Google but filter out the ad pieces? they like scrub the interface between you and Google, but actually use Google for the search. He sent us an email.
Yeah, he sent a company. Of course, I can't remember.
No, I can't. Well, Kevin sends us so much good stuff, and we definitely got to read that Tiabi article that we'll talk about next Wednesday, if he says it's that good. So, Johnny, I got people, you know, pouring money in right now, and I have no problem putting them involved. I'll get them in the Russell right here easily enough. I'll put them in XLE. I still kind of like. Although,
yeah.
What do you make of the fact that we've got GDX, which is, you know, trading 2260. I'm going to say last time gold was over 1300, it probably was 24. But the XLE, last time oil was $60, I think it was over 70, wasn't it?
Right. There's very much a disconnect to, you know, for the commodity, you know, with some of the stocks.
I mean, and yet, didn't somebody want to take over one of the gold stocks? So, you wonder if these guys are, not so much the oil companies, but you wonder if these gold and silver places are doing a lot of hedging, and that's why the stocks aren't going anywhere, even when the gold runs up. That's always a big problem when you go, you know, if you go grab a Newmont or somebody and you say, oh God, gold's going up, I better go buy a Newmont. Well, you don't really know. I guess it's sort of in the fine print someplace, if you look at a 10Q or whatever, how much they hedge their stuff going forward. And once in a while, you'll see the thing hanging on, and then one day start jumping when their hedges expired, right? So it's kind of hard all the time to figure out whether they're benefiting as much from an increase in gold or oil as you would think they are. I mean, and a lot of stuff gets real detailed if you actually want to study an industry. That's why, I mean, John, I think you and I, we will trade more of the whole market using ETFs than we do individual stocks, because I don't know if anybody has the personnel to really know if a CEO is cooking the books on an individual stock. I mean, I don't know what I would have done if I would have had like all my people in like Bear Stearns or something. Good Lord. Then what do you do with your business?
Right. Or you look in those, you know, reports and you know, how you can, you know, ascertain all these hedges and figure them out. And as you point out, like, you still have a little bit of that, like in the oil industry, but you know how you ascertain all that is quite the job, to be honest with you.
Well, it's very, very difficult when people look at it, and that's why I talk about the last recession. We weren't around during the Great Depression, but it was different because it was a balance sheet depression. People lost wealth, not just income. I mean, most of the time when people say I'm studying McDonald's, okay. They'll look at McDonald's and they'll say, you know, maybe you'll go into a McDonald's and see new menus or whatever. Maybe do some, you know, boots on the ground research, which I, you know, recommend a lot of times people, if they're going to buy a company, you know, feel comfortable with the place. I mean, a lot of people say that.
Right.
But really, we're going to look at earnings. We might even make an earnings play. We might say I'm bullish on McDonald's and the stock's trading, 189. And we're going to put the 195 calendar spread on next earnings time because we think the stock is going to react up $3, $4, $5, even 7 would still be okay. We're going to play this to the upside or the downside, whatever it is. I mean, we can do all that based on earnings. And if you talk to most investors, most people that are even whether you're investing for the long term, whether you're trading, whatever you're doing, if you quiz people and you know put the shine the big light at them underneath the, you know, the thing like they used to in the old days, the interrogation room, they're going to say they're all over these earnings announcements, right? It's a rare somebody who says, I find and look at, I dig through the 10K from top to bottom, and I look at every single balance sheet note and try and figure out what the hell's going on in the balance sheet. Because, I mean, that has got to be, I don't know how many 100 hours that would take, Jan, for one company. And even then,
the other point too is these things will have such great movement, 1 minute after this stuff is released, and there's no way on this God's earth that somebody's been able to analyze, you know, that thing, the reports.
Well, and that's what bothers me about, you know, a lot of the people on TV that give people quote investment advice when in my mind they shouldn't. I mean, you get somebody like, I actually like the guy, Jim Cramer, talking about the buffoon who runs Sears when he's run the thing into the ground, Jimmy Lambert. Now, granted, he was one of the biggest stars at Goldman, and he's a great investment banker. I mean, he recharged his place, and he's running like an investment bank. And so, you know, Cramer, back in the day, and you can find it on YouTube, he'd say, you gotta go with Jimmy Lambert. He's so smart, he's going to turn this into a real estate REIT. Because look at all the stuff, you know, Sears owns and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it has nothing to do with retail. It has to do with all this property. They bought 50 years. I challenge anybody, John. I mean, maybe there's people out there a lot smarter than me. I challenge anybody to go someplace and walk out with a list of the top 5,000 Sears properties, what they paid for it, how much they appreciated it by, is there a mortgage against it, and what's it worth today. I challenge anybody to find that information. I mean, it might be there. Somebody better than me, somebody works harder than me. But I'll tell you what, if I did get it, it would be a lot of hard work, and then I still don't know what I got. Yet, the fact is, once in a while you find a pearl like that. If you say, holy bleep, Batman, McDonald's owns, you know, some of its franchise, some of it isn't. What if you found out in the near north there's a Hard Rock McDonald's there, okay? It's been there, it's an institution up there. Well, I think they own a parking lot, I'm not sure. If they do, we're talking about a square block in essentially River North. Now, I don't know if they own the property, if they lease the property. I mean, if they own it and it was paid for in 1964 and it's fully depreciated, well, hell, that's a big number on that balance sheet. If it's turned out it's leased, now not so big, right? I mean, how you go through, you know, thousands of those properties and figure out what these companies are actually worth balance sheet-wise, that's why people focus on the income, because the other's too tough. And you're probably not going to find something there anyway. But once in a while, you do. When Dr. J used to trade in the Capital Cities, we were talking about that earlier with Duke Chapman's dad was the chairman of the place, I think. Or wasn't he? He was like the CFO or something. They bought ABC back when, you know, back during, you know, when the market was 1,000. And we said, what are they buying those guys for? Well, they owned a square block building in Manhattan. It was fully depreciated on the balance sheet. And the building was worth more than they paid for ABC. They sold the building and, like, broke even and had the company for nothing. Same way when whoever bought Northwest Airlines. Didn't they own a square block in Tokyo at the height of the real estate speculation there or something? I mean, I'm not saying there aren't rewards to this. I mean, there are, but it's really hard to value a company. And that's why people zero in on the income side, because they're flashing it at you on TV and there's a million people talking about it. But that's only one piece of it, right? So you and I suspect something's weird in the oil patch, because our XLE, in our mind, should be higher than it is with oil pushing $60 a barrel. Now, how much more, or whether it'll all of a sudden catch up, or if there's a fundamental change, how the hell do we know? I think one of the biggest reasons why is Schlumberger. Schlumberger was 89 at the beginning of last year, and it's still, after a big recovery here, is 44. Now, they're the third biggest stock in the index. Now, I have no idea. I wish we had somebody that knew an awful lot about why is the biggest oil service company in the world somehow not involved like you think they would be in all the places now that are, you know, the Texas basin and the North Dakota basin. Somehow or another, Schlumberger's lost a lot of that business. And how much, to who, will they get it back? I don't know, Jen. I'd love to have that information, wouldn't you?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, did it go to Halliburton? Did it go to somebody that's not on the radar, because maybe that's somebody to get involved in, so on and so forth?
Yeah, and knowing who obviously, if you had a staff of people that could do that, finding one of those a year that's an up-and-comer, and nobody, you got them a day before the rest of the world found out about them, I think that there's still a reward to that, you know?
Yep.
But, I mean, if we could hire five of those people, what would we hire first? I'd probably do a biotech guy. Of course, then again,
plus that would be so interesting. It's one end that I claim to know very little about.
Well, I hope it wouldn't be the point where we're along a bunch of Biogen. Next day it goes down $100. I mean, talk about a clunker in that place. I mean, I think I'd probably go with the oil. I think the oil is less risky. These other guys, though, I don't know how something gets it to a third stage and says, well, it doesn't work at all. I mean, I don't know. You would think, you would say, maybe doesn't work as well as you thought it would. But the idea that it's a clunk, how do you make it that far? with a drug.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to have an analyst if we had like an analyst just in technology in general.
Yeah,
I mean that would be great. It seems to have such legs once it catches on. You know.
Well, so are you guys, you got a whole bunch of clients dying to buy a lift today, or what?
I've had a few people ask, but it's,
really,
good bit of the time, as we know, on these kind of things, once they go and level out, there's opportunities to get involved later.
So they never made any money. They lose a ton, right? Or is that, these guys aren't as bad losing money as Uber, are they? I don't think they are. Maybe are these guys as bad?
I think they still lose though.
Yeah, but and Uber, where's Uber getting the $3 billion to buy somebody else when they've never made a nickel? Who's lending them that, though, that you and I couldn't borrow if our life depended on it?
Right.
I mean,
who knows, Tom? It's crazy.
Do you guys, are you guys loaded up Uber and Lyft out there?
Oh, yeah, as far as I use them. So, Lyft's the one I use, from the house,
Some areas in Chicago, some areas here are more, I think the burbs are more Lyft. I don't use either one of them, but I think in the city, a lot of people use the Uber share ride. And I don't know that Lyft share rides, is at least to the same extent.
Okay.
I know people in the near north, there'll be like three people in a car and it's, like $4 a person to get to work. I mean, it's way cheaper it's almost cheaper than the L. Well, L is 2.25, but I'm saying you have to drop somebody off first, but, I don't know that if Lyft, Maddie, is there a difference? Does Lyft do share rides too?
As far as I know, I've never done Lyft.
Oh, all right. Well, in the burbs, our buddy.
I don't think there's any difference.
Our buddy Herbie used to drive. He said in the suburbs it's all Lyft and the city's all Uber, which is kind of interesting. But I don't see why anybody couldn't get in that business, why these guys are so valuable. Just because of the name or what? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. So, Jan, if I drop $20 million on your desk today, what are you buying?
Well, I mean, I think you named a good bit of the things. I think I'd try some of the broad-based indexes. Not try. That's what I would get involved in. I think I'd still do the XLE. I think I'd do the precious metals right now, and maybe even explore some of the other sectors too.
Well, this QQQ has been. I've did a lot of money in that in the last 10 weeks. That's been a really hot performer. I don't know. I mean, it's up from middle of January. It was 161. Now it's pushing 180. I don't know how much more gas it's got, but
right.
But it's a reasonable volatility. If you want to do a call writing program, it's there's stuff in there that.
Well, that's the point. That would be the sole reason to do it, and then we're protected on the downside.
So are you guys PTI West? Do you have the skybox ready in case your hockey team gets in ahead of the Blackhawks? You invite me down?
We could go. It's still an easy ticket to get in this town, so come on out. We'll go.
Are the skyboxes full? Or are they got?
I don't know. I would imagine those are full, but if we do end up making the playoffs, I think they still have a hard time selling out. So.
Well, I think Manny Weber's company
just hasn't taken off here, so.
I think Manny's they got big seats in skyboxes. I never get the invite there. Why is that, Manny?
I don't either.
Oh well, that's a reason. If they're not
inviting
you,
that might be the why.
Yeah,
right.
They're not inviting you. They're not inviting me. That's for sure. SP Futures now up 14. That's about as high as I've seen it. Nasdaq up 40. So it looks like we got a bullish day to end the quarter. Be back Monday. Tell you all about it.
You're still here. It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.